After my morning of capturing bees, I spent the afternoon in the peach stand out on the highway, selling T-Ray's peaches. It was the loneliest summer job a girl could have, stuck in a roadside hut with three walls and a flat tin roof. I sat on a Coke crate and watched pickups zoom by till I was nearly poisoned with exhaust fumes and boredom. Thursday afternoons were usually a big peach day, with women getting ready for Sunday cobblers, but not a soul stopped. T-Ray refused to let me bring books out here and read, and if I smuggled one out, say Lost Horizon, stuck under my shirt, somebody, like Mrs. Watson from the next farm, would see him at church and say, "Saw your girl in the peach stand reading up a storm. You must be proud." And he would half kill me. What kind of person is against reading? I think he believed it would stir up ideas of college, which he thought a waste of money for girls, even if they did, like me, score the highest number a human being can get on their verbal aptitude test. Math aptitude is another thing, but people aren't meant to be overly bright in everything. I was the only student who didn't groan and carry on when Mrs. Henry assigned us another Shakespeare play. Well, actually, I did pretend to groan, but inside I was as thrilled as if I'd been crowned Sylvan's Peach Queen. Up until Mrs. Henry came along, I'd believed beauty college would be the upper limit of my career. Once, studying her face, I told her if she was my customer, I would give her a French twist that would do wonders for her. And she said, and I quote, "Please, Lily, you are insulting your fine intelligence. Do you have any idea how smart you are? You could be a professor or a writer with actual books to your credit. Beauty school, please." It took me a month to get over the shock of having life possibilities. You know how adults love to ask, "So, what are you going to be when you grow up?" I can't tell you how much I'd hated that question. But suddenly I was going around volunteering to people who didn't even want to know, that I planned to be a professor and a writer of actual books. I kept a collection of my writings. For a while, everything I wrote had a horse in it. After we read Ralph Waldo Emerson in class, I wrote My Philosophy of Life, which I intended for the start of a book, but could get only 3 pages out of it. Mrs. Henry said I needed to live past 14 years old before I would have a philosophy. She said a scholarship was my only hope for a future and lent me her private books for the summer. Whenever I opened one, T-Ray said,
"Who do you think you are, Julius Shakespeare?"
The man sincerely thought that was Shakespeare's first name, and if you think I should have corrected him, you are ignorant about the art of survival. He also referred to me as Miss Brownnose in a book, and occasionally as Miss Emily Bighead Diction. He meant Dickinson, but again, there are things you let go by. Without books in the peach stand, I often passed the time making up poems, but that slow afternoon, I didn't have the patience for rhyming words. I just sat out there and thought about how much I hated the peach stand, how completely and absolutely I hated it. The day before I'd gone to first grade, T-Ray had found me in the peach stand sticking a nail into one of his peaches. He walked toward me with his thumbs jammed into his pockets and his eyes squinted half shut from the glare. I watched his shadow slide over the dirt and weeds and thought he had come to punish me for stabbing a peach. I didn't even know why I was doing it. Instead, he said,
"Lily, you're starting school tomorrow, so there are things you need to know about your mother."
For a moment, everything got still and quiet, as if the wind had died and the birds had stopped flying. When he squatted down in front of me, I felt caught in a hot dark I could not break free of.
"It's time you knew what happened to her, and I want you to hear it from me. Not from people out there talking."
We had never spoken of this, and I felt a shiver pass over me. The memory of that day would come back to me at odd moments. The stuck window, the smell of her. The clink of hangers, the suitcase, the way they'd fought and shouted. Most of all, the gun on the floor. The heaviness when I'd lifted it.